Welcome to Namely 90s. Wow. The podcast that takes you back to the time before smartphones, Google, and Y2K. Join your hosts as they relive the pop culture that shaped a generation and the parts that many people wish they could forget. Listen in to the conversation about how the decade defined those who spent their childhood there and how it shaped them as adults. So, turn down the grunge and dial up the internet. Let's get started. It's time for Namely 90s.
Hello, welcome to the show. You're listening to Namely 90s. I'm Andrew. That's Brandon over there.
That's me.
And you can find us on Twitter at Namely 90s. That's with a 90s, or online at namely90s.com. We encourage your input and your feedback there. And this week we are talking about August of 1998. So, Brandon, tell us what was going on.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
What? That was an awful impression, but that's what makes it so funny.
Thank you.
you're welcome. Not that I can do any better.
August 17th, Bill Clinton uttered those words. I believe that was during his impeachment trial.
Utter. No pun intended. What?
Because she was, I recently watched or listened to a thing where it was like, why is everyone banging on Monica Lewinsky? She was the victim in all this.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true. That's such a decidedly 90s thing to do, to like
blame the woman.
Yeah, that's awful.
All right. So that's all I had for cultural events
today.
Yeah. Television. Whose Line Is It Anyway premiered.
Yes. Oh, I love that show so much. And it's back.
I mean, it's been back.
Yeah, I know. And it's good. It's still good.
Did it ever actually go off the air? Because I know they did some tours. Yeah. And then That 70s Show also premieres in August of 98, which I was surprised. I forgot That 70s Show.
Yeah. I like that one.
In video games, Pokemon Stadium, the Japan-only release, which was... So, in America, Pokemon Stadium is actually Pokemon Stadium 2 from Japan.
Okay.
I was very confused by this when I was doing my research. So, we're not going to be talking about it unless I forgot to get anything else. And in the box office... in the box office, we have Halloween H2O 20 years later coming out on the 5th, Air Bud Golden Receiver coming out on the 14th.
I just love it so much.
Air Bud, we talked about in length last episode. How Stella Got Her Groove Back came out on the 14th. A little known kickboxing vampire movie called Blade came out on the 21st. In direct-to-video releases, Pocahontas 2, Journey to the New World came out. And then finally on the 29th, Disney Channel original movie Brink was released.
No recollection whatsoever.
I will talk in depth about that later.
Oh, good.
So Billboard charts. Number one is still The Boy's Mind by Brandy and Monica from June when we last talked about this. So for the third full week of August of 1998, number three is Adia by Sarah McLachlan. You remember that one?
Yeah, I can't say that I do.
It's my goal every episode to get a song stuck in your head. So this is the one where she's like, "We are all innocent. Believe me, Adia." Yeah,
I don't want that stuck in my head.
Damn. That's why. Yep. Well, don't worry. This will get it out of your head. Number six, You're Still the One by Shania Twain. Oh,
the only one I dream of.
That showboating Canadian wench. That's from Family Guy, by the way. I didn't come up with that.
Number 19 is This Kiss by Faith Hill.
Okay. They still play that during the Kiss Cam contest at the hockey game.
Oh, we should talk about the Kraken. And number 28, Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you saw the Seattle Kraken logo?
I did. I actually really like the logo. I don't know if I sent it to you, but did you see the thing where they turned the logo into Trogdor?
No.
Oh, it's pretty funny. Because like the S from the Kraken, it looks like when you add the little arm and the ears, it looks like Trogdor from Homestar Runner.
Oh, huh.
It was pretty funny.
It is very stylized. I like my Mariner's S.
Like the overall rollout of the logo. I think they did a nice job with it. And I do like the sweaters and the alternate logo and all that.
Yeah, I just realized I was going to change my hat. So it looked like this is a different recording than the previous session. I did not.
I think it's fairly obvious that we batch record at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, I have a green screen.
Yeah.
True.
Well, can I just point out, I need to point this out. From That 70s Show, the guy who plays Fez is now an agent on NCIS.
Wilder Valderrama's on NCIS?
Yeah, he's on NCIS. Yep.
Like, because Mila Kunis was Meg on Family Guy for after season one. Topher Grace played Eddie Brock in Spider-Man 3.
He appeared in Ocean's 11.
No, really?
Yeah. You don't remember
Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
What
totally.
I don't remember that.
He wasn't like a main character. He played himself. They follow a backroom poker game or something.
Yes.
And Brad Pitt talks. Yeah. Oh, God, I love that movie. That's one of my favorites.
Especially like basing it off the original movie, which had no decent conclusion.
Yeah.
No offense, Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra. But yeah, Ocean's 11. Now, any other sequel and prequel, terrible, but yeah.
I'm going to give you a spoiler on the Rat Pack version. They had some brown liquor, they smoked a cigarette, and then they made a racial slur. That was pretty much the end of that movie, I'm sure.
While Sammy Davis Jr. is in frame.
Is in the frame.
Yeah.
It's a different time now.
It was a different. Well, so I watched a breakdown of like those old, I think the Italian Job and Ocean's 11 from that era. And it's like it ends on them being arrested or something, like not like them winning or anything. It's just like, oh, they got caught and arrested. The end.
It's like
That was a cool movie back then. Like, were people that into authoritarianism? I guess there was no past that we long for. Who else on That 70s Show? Laura Prepon.
She played Donna, right?
Yes.
She was a guest star in House.
Yes. Well, she starred in Orange is the New Black, which I tried watching, but couldn't get to the point where she got arrested because Jason Biggs and her did not play a realistic couple in my mind.
Fair enough.
No offense to them. I hear like that was one of the big Netflix shows before it ended.
I knew of it largely, but never actually, you know, watched it. So
yeah. Who else? The guy that played Stephen Hyde. His brother was Francis in Malcolm in the Middle. I know that.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay. I can see that.
And then he played one of Darlene's boyfriends in Roseanne.
Oh gosh, Roseanne.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Who's the guy who played Red Foreman?
What's
his name?
He has such a like distinct name. I don't remember what it is, but he was in RoboCop. I remember that.
He was also a guest star in House. He played Dave Matthews' dad.
Dave Matthews, like the.
Well, Dave Matthews played like a mentally handicapped, like brain trauma person, but he was like a savant at playing the piano. And Kurtwood Smith,
who
plays
yes.
Red Foreman, was his dad.
Yes.
And that was also a good episode as well.
I'm pretty sure he was the bad guy in RoboCop. like he was the leader of the corporation that turned him into a robo.
RoboCop. So funny.
Yeah. I guess it's a great piece of 80s cinema. But yeah, he also played the dad of Ashley Williams' character on Psych for an episode.
He plays a dad. You know, he's America's dad.
I think that 70s show typecasted him from then on as someone's father. He played someone with Alzheimer's in Psych, former cop. Yeah. Good show. And then we forgot about Kelso. The guy punked Ashton Kutcher.
Well, yeah, obviously his career was fairly prolific.
Finally married Mila Kunis after years of being married to Demi Moore.
I mean, she is Meg. Shut up, Meg.
Who let you back into the house? Because they had such great chemistry. She was 15 in the first episode of that 70s show, which they did not reveal until she was much older.
So basically just off stage, the dad from Seventh Heaven was like creeping, I'm sure. Or was it with little boys? Okay, sorry. I just made it too dark. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. But they eventually got together in real life. Actually, she ended up with Hyde at the end of that 70s show, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember specifically, but yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, it was a good show. Went on too long. That 80s show was terrible, I want to say.
Did they do a 90s version?
No, it was that 80s show.
Oh, thank goodness.
I had a fun tidbit. It was like a year ago or three years ago, I guess, at this point. I was like, if they were doing that 70s show right now, they would be doing a show called that 90s show.
That's crazy. You're right, though.
Yeah. And I stole that from, I want to say, XKCD or something like that. But yeah, that 70s, they had that 80s show. That was a spinoff. The only thing I remember about that show is that the advertisement had someone on a Zach Morris brick cell phone going, "I'm on a cellular phone."
That reminds me, I was at the gas station today and there's like that sign that says stay off your cell phone. And it's literally a picture of like an old school flip phone with an antenna.
The one that could spark your gasoline on fire.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's sort of a non-issue now. They took it out and took a picture of it.
I think it's more of I think it's more of like paying attention to making sure you don't overfill your gas.
It's had a spark could ignite the vapors.
Ah.
Like, I mean, like, granted, it is a Samsung phone, so it on its own could explode immediately or suddenly.
That is true. I actually read that I should check my PSP and make sure the battery hasn't exploded. That was a big thing this previous weekend.
Oh, lovely.
When we were recording this. Yeah.
They were also blowing up in the 787 when it was first
787?
Put into service.
Yeah. The Samsung Galaxy phones. And then anytime you take your cell phone on an airplane, it can explode. Cool.
Yeah, nice. Better than your shoes exploding.
Did you want to talk about Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah. You just can't beat the combination of Wayne Brady, Colin Mochrie. Who's the tall guy?
I used to know that.
Ryan Stiles.
Ryan Stiles.
And then there was always like one other person. Greg Proops was always pretty funny.
Yeah, they always had a guest fourth chair.
They did. It seemed to be. Yeah. And then now the host is Aisha. Is it Taylor or Tyler? I can never
Tyler,
remember.
Tyler.
Yeah. And she's pretty funny. And they occasionally have even guests beyond that. But like that's one of those few shows on TV that I will actually laugh. I mean, not all the time, but very hard at. Like, I have to pause it to laugh sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I know now the one of the guys from Harmontown is a part of the Whose Line gang, the live gang, and now on the show. God, what's his name? The guy, and he's always wearing a suit.
Oh, yeah, I think I've seen him. I don't know his name, though.
Dang it, what's his name?
Jimmy's. That's one of those shows I could just leave it on and watch it for. I mean, it's just hilarious.
Well, you know, I did improv in high school because of that.
I was going to say, that's what happens when you have improv gone right. Unfortunately, a lot of improv has gone wrong. Not that I could do any better. I'm not saying that. But as a consumer of improv, you know, I appreciate how funny it is on a consistent basis.
Oh, Jeff Davis. That's who it was. Mm. Yeah, I mean, just because we lost again, my school lost against your high school in the improv battle, I guess. I don't know why we're like improv throwdown.
No, I don't know.
We faced your school in an improv competition. That was really weird.
I know. And there were the time with the booby tassels or whatever.
Yeah. So your school had some alums in the audience who, when we asked for our audience participation, would throw out just terrible suggestions.
And they were trolling you.
Yeah. We were doing a game called Pillars where we would bring people up from the audience and they would have to give us fill-in words. So I found a dead cat, and in its mouth was, and I pointed to the guy and he's like, booby tassel. And I'm just like, I look at him, I look at the audience, and I'm like, booby tassel. And that was the scene.
I think I ran lights and sound for a few of those, and they were moderately funny.
Shout
out to Henry M. Jackson High School. Go Timberwolves.
Would have been nice had you come and seen me perform in the one thing where our schools actually, Bishop Blanchard High School.
Nothing funnier than Catholic interfaced improv.
To be fair, no, the tidbit I was about to share, I really shouldn't. The other school that we faced, which we won against, was Holy Names, which is an all girls school. And we had the home field advantage for that one. Also, I'm pretty sure one of the girls that was in that eventually did porn.
Perfect.
Yes.
It's okay because she didn't use birth control. So it was okay because she's Catholic, right? Yeah. Did I just alienate a large section of listeners?
Probably. She has 360 babies for her one day of work in the industry.
Good.
So whose line is it anyways? Wayne Brady. Drew Carey was the original host. He's now host of Price is Right.
Yep. Wayne Brady actually appeared on The Masked Singer in one season two. And I could not for the life of me figure out who it was. And when I realized it was him, I was like, one, holy crap, who didn't think of that? And two, holy crap, he's actually super talented, which is crazy.
How does one win The Masked Singer is my
question. It's based on the quality of their singing. So what happens is each week, like the worst one gets voted off. So like, and obviously the worst one, you don't care that much about who it is, but these people who are like really good and you're like, I can't tell who that is. Who the hell could that be? And then they reveal themselves and you're like, wow, holy crap. But I mean, there's a lot of really bad like D-list or worse celebrities on there for sure.
Joel McHale guest hosts every once in a while.
Joel McHale, Ken Jeong, my all-time favorite.
Ken Jeong's an actual host, he's an actual host.
Oh,
though,
I'm
right?
sorry. No, you're right. Joel McHale comes on. Kenan Thompson comes on. He's pretty funny on there. We like Kenan Thompson.
I like Kenan.
He's hysterical. He comes on. There's been a couple others on there as well that are varying degrees of funniness. But I know it's Nick Cannon literally couldn't be more annoying though. It's beyond measure how annoying that guy is.
He's gone through some stuff. I hear he got divorced from Mariah Carey.
He also had kidney failure or still has.
What? Oh shit.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. And then he said something offensive about Jews. Yeah, so that's delightful.
Maybe say the whole word next time.
Well, the Jewish people. I didn't mean to say it that way.
I mean, I am one quarter Jewish or something.
Really?
Oh, or eighth. I might be one eighth Jewish.
You learn something new every day.
Well, it was through that, through those DNA mapping things.
Improv. Okay.
Yeah, it's where I learned how to yes and you learned how to do the lights.
Yeah. Yes and. Alrighty, what's next?
I wanted to talk about the Disney Channel original movie Brink.
Okay.
That's Brink with an exclamation mark. Let me fill you in on this movie that you never watched.
Is this a popular movie?
It was popular at the time, and then they somehow, because Blink 182 was also popular, so there was a Blink 182 concert on the Disney Channel followed by the movie Brink. So they called it Brink 182. That's I no. remember that. Yeah.
No, why?
Brink. It's one of those movies where it's like, it's so bad, but as a kid, you're like, oh, this is awesome. This is so 90s. It was a movie about inline skating.
Is it a golden retriever that skates?
No. So it starred Eric Von Detten, who I believe was the kid on Sequest DSV, who eventually killed himself. And he, Jesus.
I don't know why. It's just the reaction. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know why I laughed at that. I have that inappropriate laughter problem.
Yeah, I just tried to sneak that in there. but yeah, I'm pretty sure he's dead. True. So he plays Andy Brinker, and he and his crew are soul skaters, inline skating, you know, rollerblades.
Is it Andy Brink in quotes Brinker?
Yes.
That's I hate that so
and
much.
And his crew, Peter, Jordy, and Gabriella. They live in like Southern California, and they go skate down to what I assume is their version of Venice Beach, and they're all like they just have fun skating and living life. And then there's the bad guy Val, who sold his soul and is a sponsored inline skater, because that was a job in the 90s.
What a sellout.
Yeah. And so over the course.
Is there a scene where he gets chased by rollerblade police?
No, but they're actually, based off of your knowledge of cliche 90s movies and action extreme stuff, can you describe three random events that you think occurred in this movie?
Let's see.
Let's start with what was the main conflict?
Main conflict was he... oh gosh, he was cheating.
Not on like his schoolwork.
No, was he like a competition rollerblader?
Oh, so So the bad guy was cheating, or the other, or
the bad guy was cheating at his rollerblading.
Yeah, I believe he did at one point sabotage. He threw a bunch of gravel onto the course or something, and at one point Gabby rolled over it at high speed and like got super injured.
But is that the main conflict or no?
No. The main conflict is Brink, Andy Brink Brinker. He sold his soul because his dad loses his job, and to make extra money, he started working at a dog grooming place, but wasn't making enough money. And then the evil guy Val was like, oh, you should join our crew. We need someone for the skate competition.
So basically this is like 90s rollerblading, family friendly Breaking Bad.
Yes, without the drugs. But they did. So can you tell me what the, it was, there was a vert competition, but there was also a downhill competition. That's when Gabby injured herself when they were practicing. And that was the big, that was a turning point where she got injured. And Brink was like, I can't believe you did that to my friend. And then he went back and became a soul skater again, and used the money that he got from working at the dog groomer's business to sponsor his crew, and became Team Pup and Suds. Yeah, I don't know where the rest of this is going.
Brink 182. That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Right. I really loved this movie back in the day. There was also another one called Airborne, which was
I'm imagining there's a fair amount of slow motion.
There's a lot of like low camera angle and like big jumps and slow motion. And I'm confusing the ending with the ending of Airborne, which also featured a slalom race. I don't know everything off the top of my head.
That's
about
hysterical.
This movie. Airborne had a young Seth Green and a young Jack Black in it, which is why which we will talk about when that movie comes up. But yeah, it's, and then Eric Von Detten had the long blonde, like Hansen hair. So you'd have to like move it out of his face every time you would talk. And then he would talk like a California surfer, bro, dude.
God, nothing is funnier than reading the lyrics to Mbop. I just can't get over that one.
But the big thing, the reason why Brink is actually considered one of the better Disney Channel original movies is because the message was a Brink's dad has to sit him down at one point. He's like, your job doesn't define who you are. That's why he didn't want his kid to be a sponsored skater. He wanted his kid to just enjoy skating. He's like, I worked 30 years as a mechanic and they just fired me, blah, blah, blah. But I thought that was really cool at the time. Cause it's like, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know that you should be. Who you are shouldn't be defined by what you are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good advice.
Yeah. Don't let it be your sole defining characteristic, I guess, is in the end.
Sure.
Yes.
I would never dare let my rollerblading interfere with my... No, stupid.
But yeah, that's probably why I rollerbladed a lot when we were kids.
Yeah, it was kind of the rage. I was really bad at it. Then again, I have I'm like crippled, so there is that.
Yeah. Well, was that the reason back then, though?
Not really. I was just really uncoordinated.
That sounds more correct.
I'm not good at sports.
Aww.
Well, let's be honest.
Team Pup. What I have listed under Brink is Soul Skaters. Team Pup and Suds, and your job doesn't define who you are. So
Team Pup and Suds.
Anything else?
Oh my gosh, does that bring us to 28 minutes? Goodness.
Yeah, but we kind of farted around before we started recording, so I think we're at like 25 minutes. This might be a short episode this week.
No, I think we can come up with something more to talk about.
This is the one I did not prep that much on. Halloween H. No.
Well, let's go back to the charts again real quick. Wasn't there something we were talking about there?
Adia by Sarah McLachlan.
Are all innocent.
God, her music is just horrible. It's so sad.
I know. I saw this like a week ago, the dog commercial where they're like, dogs in shelters get killed every single day.
Oh gosh, the ASPCA commercial with the Sarah McLachlan music. That thing, like, that kills me every time. I mean, the Africa ones, I'm like, you know, I'll send some money. But the dog ones, I'm like try not to cry a lot. You know,
that's her song, right? I don't remember what song
is it. Is it In the Arms of the Angel? Yeah, they play that at funerals all the time. And it's like, people are already sad. Like, you know, how much crying do you need to establish to cause? It's incredibly terrible.
And I completely forgot about Adia.
Aida?
A-D-I-A. Okay. But she always says, Adia. I can't sing, by the way.
I'm going to blast that in my car all the way home.
Please do.
Blast it. Roll up to the stoplights, just roll the windows down. Blasting my Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah, someone else comes up and they're listening to like The Boy Is Mine by Brandy and Monica.
It's probably still on the charts, honestly.
Or Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys. Yeah. Well,
I think that's about it.
Yeah. That's it for this week's edition of Namely 90s. I'm Brandon. That's Andrew. You can find us on Twitter at Namely 90s with a 90s, or find our personal accounts at Bishwitty and at Namely Andrew, and tell us what you want us to talk about on future episodes. You can also contact us through our website, namely90s.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, Dunkaroos, Deezer, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and wherever you get your podcasts at. And we will catch you next time.
Next time.